ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो हरे कृष्णा, आई विल बी कवरिंग टुडे 14th फर्स्ट कैंटो 14th चैप्टर वर्सेस 35-44 and it's a continuation where Yudhishthir Maharaj, he has more inquiries for Arjuna once Arjuna returns from Dwaraka. So let's recite the invocation verses. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam budhirayat nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati na istaki.
That pin is there.
So we'll do a quick recap. So Jai Subhadra Mataji covered verses 1 to 21st. So that was where Yudhishthir Maharaj sees all the inauspicious omens, like seasonal changes, right? The seasons got changed,
owls.
And owls sound, they were owling, and also the people were becoming more greedy, right? Greedy, angry and deceitful. So that was the main theme of that. The second section was covered by Gauranga Chandra Prabhu, and where Arjuna returns from Dwaraka and he looks very dejected. So that's where Yudhishthira Maharaj starts inquiring, what's the reason for his dejection? So let's go. And that section he mainly inquires about relatives and, you know, friends of Dwaraka in that section. So let's see this section I will be covering. So this section I divided this whole my main section. So 35 to 37, where it covers how the Yadus, they showed by example how to serve Lord Krishna, practically. So that will be the main 35 to 37. And the next section 38 particularly, it's about how we can all become fearless. And that's only under the shelter of Krishna. When you take shelter of Krishna's protection, then only we can all become fearlessness. So that we will cover in 38. And 39 to 43, that's mainly talks about prescribed duties of a good king. Also there is one verse about householder, like a duties of a householder. So we'll see that one. And Yudhishthir Maharaj says, one of that, if the king doesn't perform any of that prescribed duties, that may be cause for his despondency. So we'll see what are the duties. And the last one, 44 verse is, Yudhishthir Maharaj concludes, there is no other reason for him to be so dejected. So he finally reveals the reason. So let's go to 35 to 36. We can all recite together.
Mangalya cha lokanam shabhava cha asti edu kulam bodhav adyo ananta shakapuman yad bhavanda guptayam swapuryam yadho rachita kridanti paramanandam mahapaurushika eva.
The original personality of Godhead, the enjoyer, and Balarama, the primeval Lord Ananta, are staying in the ocean of the Yadu dynasty for the welfare, protection and general progress of the entire universe. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord, are enjoying life like the residents of the spiritual sky. So if you see this one, right, it's not actually an inquiry. It doesn't look like, you know, asking something from Arjuna. It's actually, Brijan Prabhu says, he refers to Vishnu Chakravarti. He refers to that, saying it's kind of a statement. Because Yudhishthir Maharaj knows, as long as Krishna is present on the earth, there cannot be any inauspiciousness. So it's basically, it's glorifying Krishna in this particular. This is statements, not inquiry. There are three of them are statements. So let's see what Prabhupada in the purport covers. So Prabhupada in the purport, he starts with because in this, right, if you see the comparison, like the, I'm going to show that later. So basically here he's comparing it to Lord Ananta and the ocean, right? Ocean of Yadu, the dynasty. So he's comparing it to a let me show the picture. So basically, Prabhupada talks about mainly Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So they are present in each particular universe. That's the two capacities they are present as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. And Prabhupada says, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, he has it in the whole universe on the top northern part, he has his own planet. That's where he stays. And he always, he'll be lying on the Ananta. So that's where it's come. So in the comparison Prabhupada has done, so he has compared Yadu dynasty to the ocean of milk, where Shiradakshaya Vishnu will be lying, and Sri Balaram to the Ananta. Ananta Deva is the, you know, the snake incarnation of Balaram. So Vishnu will be sleeping on the Ananta.
So
Shiradakshaya
Vishnu or Mahavishnu?
No, so the first picture, right? The first picture is Mahavishnu. I just put, so I wanted to show all three Vishnu. So it's not referred, Prabhupada doesn't refer in the purport. That's my reference I just put. So that's where Mahavishnu lies down. And all the universes inhales, exhales, right? When he exhales, all the universe comes out. Then in that he enters as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And that's where Lord Brahma was born from the navel. Then Shirodakshaya Vishnu is the one who enters into each living entity, right, as Paramatma, is present. And Prabhupada says he is the main controller, actually. He is the controller of the whole universe. So that's where Prabhupada compares citizens of Dwaraka to inhabitants of Vaikuntha Lokas. So that's the comparison Prabhupada is making. So let's see why Prabhupada
is... why should there be comparison of Dwaraka to Vaikuntha? Dwaraka is actually higher than Vaikuntha. From a bhava.
No, let's see why. Basically, Prabhupada is comparing Yadus, right? He's not comparing about Dwaraka. He's talking about here, particularly, you know, when the Dwaraka was present, he's talking about that Dwaraka. So let's see what... and in purport, Prabhupada discusses how about material creation. So I just copied this picture. So like, you know, this earth, after, you know, sky, we have the seven layers. Like earth, water, fire, air, ether, false ego, and some material energy, right?
Mind, emotions, and false ego.
Yeah, seven,
Ankaram,
right?
Ankaram is also a part of
false ego, yeah. So each layer, right? Each layer is 10 times bigger than the previous one. So then once you cross that, then you get the causal ocean. So Prabhupada gives, you know, how he says is, each universe, they are floating actually. The, each universe, right, if you take, they are floating in the causal ocean. Right, that's how it is. It's floating, if you take it vertically, so each universe, the one we are in currently, it's kind of, it's floating in that ocean, causal ocean. Yeah, once you cross the causal ocean, then you see the Brahman effulgence, right, the spiritual sky. And that's where you have all the Vaikuntha planets, all the spiritual sky. And Prabhupada says, you know, there are millions of Vaikuntha planets.
So, I know we are getting into too much questions. So, Ananta-sesha is a part of the causal ocean, as well as the Ananta-sesha on which Garbhodakshaya Vishnu
is. Yes.
So there are two Ananta-seshas then.
Should be, I think. It's, if you see in the picture...
So big.
No, I'm looking at the picture only.
So in the picture, yes, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is sleeping on Ananta, and I didn't read.
Also supported by Ananta. By Ananta.
Yeah.
In one of Prabhupada.
Yeah. Should.
So the whole causal ocean is supported by Ananta again.
Yeah.
Two times.
So in this purport, Prabhupada doesn't go that much detail. He just, you know, the basic information like this, whatever I just showed, that's all he covers. So then, Prabhupada, this is the main reason why he compares. So he compares the Dwarakavasis to Mahapaurushikas, right? So they are the people or the devotees who are engaged directly in the service of Vishnu, right? So he compares because they are directly engaging in the service, so they are always happy, right, in the Lord's presence. So here in Dwaraka also, the Yadus were engaged directly in the service of the Lord. So that's why they were happy too. That's what Prabhupada mentions in the purport. So let's see, I just picked the main, from the purport. They are happy in those planets and are without any kind of misery, and they live perpetually in full youthfulness, enjoying life in full bliss and knowledge, without fear of birth, death, old age or disease, and without the influence of Kala, eternal time. So this is the Vaikuntha. Prabhupada is talking about the Vaikuntha planets. Yeah, so your question, that's what Prabhupada answers. Why he compares is because they are happy in the Vaikuntha planets. So Yadus also, they are happy because Lord was present personally. So let's go to the next verse, 37.
Yat pada shushushan mukhya karmana satyo dayo dvai asta sasra yushitaha
nirjitya sankhya
tridasma tad asiso
Chitaha.
Simply by administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the most important of all services, the queens at Dwaraka, aided by Satyabhama, induce the Lord to conquer the demigods. Thus, the queens enjoy things which are prerogatives of the wives of the controller of thunderbolts. So in this... if you see the translation, right, Prabhupada says administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord. So for us, now I was just thinking, for us also, whatever facilities we have, if you use it in the best capacity in Krishna's service, and we can also get the same protection, right, how Prabhupada mentions here. So let's see what Prabhupada talks about. So Prabhupada talks about Satyabhama. As we know, she is one of the main principal queens, right? Satyabhama. So, and the small story here to narrate. So Krishna goes to kill Narakasura, right? So who has captured all the 16,000, he captured all the queens from different kingdoms. So then Krishna kills Narakasura. So Satyabhama also travels with him, Krishna, that time. So he kills Narakasura. So Narakasura had stolen a lot of things from, heavenly planets, and mainly from Indra, everything. So Krishna goes to Indra Loka to return all those things, the stolen things. So then Satyabhama also goes to Indra Loka. Then Aditi, right, mother of all the devatas. So she takes Satyabhama to show all the main things in heavenly planets. That's what Prabhupada mentions. Prerogatives, which are only for heavenly planets or demigods. So she takes her to show all the this thing. Then that's where Satyabhama gets attracted to Parijata flower. And she induces Krishna to get that. And we'll cover that. As we mentioned, Parijata flower, it's a special prerogatives of the demigods in the heavenly planets. Nobody, and Prabhupada clearly mentions, that no human beings in this earthly planet cannot afford that or cannot get that. So let's see how Krishna, and also there is a point about Satyabhama meeting Draupadi in one time. So Draupadi goes to see this solar eclipse in Kurukshetra. So that's Satyabhama also goes to see that. Then she meets and she inquires, Satyabhama inquires from Draupadi how to take care of the husbands, because Draupadi had 5 husbands, right? And they were all powerful Kshatriyas, and everybody was satisfied, all 5 of them. So she was very curious how she is taking care. So that's Prabhupada mentioned, that's one nice pastime, Satyabhama, she inquired how to take care of Krishna, so she can learn something from Draupadi. Then the other point was, we are talking, right, administering all comforts to the Lord. So why did Krishna particularly do this? So for example, he got Parijata flowers by force, right? To please Krishna.
So question. Satyabhama is higher than the devatas. So why is it that she gets attracted to a flower from the Devaloka? She comes from the spiritual world.
She, but here, right? She is right now, she was in the Dwaraka. That's why we have to think it's not happening in, you know, spiritual world, right? This pastime is happening here in Dwaraka, and it's on the material universe. As we covered, it's in the material universe. So anything from heavenly planets, it cannot come directly to the earth. That's how it should be. I think that's what
it was slightly available on the material planet. Yeah,
yeah, then now
it is not here, it's there. She wanted to get that here.
Get it to this one.
And Rukmini and all these are eternal associates of the Lord, so they are at higher platform than Parijata flower itself.
Yeah, but this past time it's happening here, right? In Dwaraka.
In one way she is merciful, she wants to.
No, anyway, this are mainly it's a pastimes, right? We can think it's all, you know, pastimes of Krishna.
One understanding is here, whether you are anywhere, wherever you are with Lord, even if the things are not there, you will get those things.
Yeah, this one of the point. Yeah, yeah, you can enjoy the comfort. We'll cover that one. Yeah. So next one, Prabhupada mentioned how Lord played the part of a faithful and complete husband. So
that's the point. Cause of all down is enjoyer of opulences. So why enjoy?
So Prabhupada, for your point, like, right? For why Prabhupada mentions very clearly, like, because the queens, right? They gave the full dedication for serving Krishna, right? Completely, they gave the high quality of devotional service to serve Krishna. That's the reason Krishna played a part of a faithful and, you know, complete husband. The next one is Prabhupada mentions, actually this is Rampad Maharaj mentions. So they got all the opulences, for example Parijata flower, and in next words it also mentioned assembly house. They got it from spiritual world, but they didn't use it for themselves, because they use it for Krishna. If we use those opulences for ourselves, so that's the cause of fall down. So we should always, you know, remember whatever we have opulences, whether are we using it in Krishna's purpose or using it for our purpose. So that can be, you can see our consciousness, whether it's a material consciousness or spiritual consciousness. Anything we can apply, you know, any small things we take, we can see our consciousness, whether we are going to use it rightly in Krishna's service or it's for our own purpose. And yeah, because we know Lord is the proprietor of everything, right? What's that Ishopanishad verse which says that? Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkinchya jagatya. So he is the controller and he owns everything. So there is no this thing, right? We have to use, because he is the proprietor, so we have to use everything in his purpose. And also in Bhagavad Gita introduction, because we are covering it in our Bhakti Gita class, Prabhupada says, the Lord is the only enjoyer, creator and enjoyer. And he mentions about the living entity. What does he mention about particularly living entity? It's in Bhagavad Gita introduction.
We are marginal and therefore
he is enjoyed. Particularly Prabhupada mentions we are the cooperator. So when we cooperate, then that's why we can get the same as Nitya Gauranga Prabhu mentioned. We can also enjoy, but only when we cooperate. Not as an enjoyer or a creator, but as a cooperator. So this Prabhupada, this thing, the words. Since the Lord is the proprietor of everything within his creation, it is not very astonishing for the queens of Dwaraka to have any rare thing from any part of the universe. So so let's go to the next verse. Et bau danda bhumaya jivano yet parvirai akuta bhayamuha adikramanti angri bir ahratam balat sadham sudharma surasattum mujitam. The great heroes of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord Sri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect, and therefore their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which is the best demigods deserved, but which was taken away from them. So I thought the theme can be, you know, how to be always remain fearless. So, and I'm pretty sure everybody wants to be like that, but at every point now, you know, our the current life or until we stay in this material universe, it's always, right? Every step there is a danger. So we are always under some fear or the other. So, for example, you know, we are fearful of our jobs. We don't know, anything can happen. Or our family members, if somebody, you know, they pass away or somebody will die. So every moment there is some kind of fear in us. So let's see how we can become fearless, as Prabhupada is mentioning here. So the main thing was direct servitors of the Lord, protected from fearfulness, and they enjoy the best of the things, right? So so once we engage directly in the service of the Lord, as how the, you know, Yadus were doing, so we can also become fearlessness. And also there is a analogy here where how the kings, right, the servants, when they stay with the king, they also enjoy the same opulences as the king, right? Like food or the clothing, everything. So same thing here. The Yadus also, or in particularly the direct servitors of the Lord for Vaikuntha planets and all, right? They are all very opulent because they are directly engaged in the service of the Lord. So they can also enjoy the best of the things. And Prabhupada mentioned about Sudharma. That's it's a state assembly house. How we have, you know, Capitol Hill in US or something. So they also in heavenly planet, they have this as a state assembly. So that's where it's built by, I forgot his name, Vishwakarma, I think. It's not mentioned here, but I think he's the one, right, who designs everything. So it says that's the best anybody can have, you know, in heavenly planets. And no human being can build that kind of stuff. No human being, basically Prabhupada mentioned, no human being on earth cannot do that, build it. So the Yadus, because they wanted in service of Krishna, so they forcefully went and they got the assembly house to the Dwaraka. Like how Satyabhama wanted Parijata flower in service of Krishna, same thing here, Yadus, they wanted to use it in service of Krishna, so they went to the heavenly planets, they got it and they used it here. That's what it's mentioned, Sudharma, that's name is Sudharma. So Lord Krishna was provided with all kinds of comforts and facilities available within the universe by the members of the Yadu dynasty. And in return, such servitors of the Lord were protected and fearless. So here is the main, right, essence. So when we use it, whatever facilities we have in the service of Krishna, so we can also always, we can feel protected and we can also become fearlessness. So that's a kind of a theme from this one. So the next, I didn't review this, so I just it's all rushing. No, I think it's okay. So the next section in the purport, Prabhupada talks about what's the cause of that fear, or right? So we know our constitutional positions as from Bhagavad Gita, I think 2.20. It's mentioned in the purport. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin, neither birth or death at any time, right? As a spirit soul, we don't have any of this. So then, what's the cause? We should be, you know, as how the Vaikuntha planets, Mahapaurushikas, they were always happy, ever youthful, right? So we don't have that. Even we are eternal, but we don't have. So let's see what's the Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada says, forgetfulness of our eternal relation with the Lord. So that's the main crux, actually. Since we have forgotten our relationship with the Lord, that's the reason we are always in fear. And Prabhupada gives the example of person dreaming. If he, like, you know, dream about a tiger, he becomes very fearful, right? But this person who is, maybe some other person who is maybe sleeping or just beside, sitting beside that person, he doesn't see the tiger. So Prabhupada says the tiger is, you know, illusion for both of them. In the dream, it's just a dream. But the person who is awake, for him it's just a, he doesn't see the tiger. Prabhupada says because that person is awake. So he doesn't, awake means, that's analogy. So he knows his eternal relationship with the Lord. So he doesn't have that fear. But the person who is sleeping, sleeping means who is forgetful of that relationship, he is fearful. So very nicely it's... So basically that's awakened life and one is always sleeping. He all forgot his relationship. And Prabhupada also talks about conditioned soul and the liberated soul. So he mentions conditioned soul is always fearful. Always, in and all the circumstances, always fearful and his conditioned soul. And examples are us. Nobody, we don't have to point anybody else. We are the main... And the liberated soul they are not fearful. At any point of time, they are not fearful. And Prabhupada gives the example of how child, right? So if there is a father with the child all the time, so the child doesn't have any fear. He knows the father is going to protect at all the time. So that's, it's kind of an analogy for the liberated soul, like how the kid and the father. Prabhupada says, thus the members of the Yadu dynasty were fully awake in their service to the Lord, and therefore there was no tiger for them to be afraid of at any time. Even if there were a real tiger, the Lord was there to protect them. So amazing, right? Even if it's not a dream, if it's real, they don't have to worry. Krishna will protect them. So yeah, the theme is, if we want to become, like, you know, fearlessness, if we want to cultivate that, so we have to engage always in the service of the Lord. How we know? Basically, we need to establish that connection with the Lord, eternal relationship, and we know we are the eternal servants. So for the servants, it's always in a mood of service. So always, if you are in this mood of service, then we don't have to fear anything.
I think we have example from Chaitanya
Prabhu, they have the same question. The fear. The eternal.
Eternal. Why I'm going through so many miseries?
Yeah.
So that points connect. And the last one about the tiger, I think Prabhupada, the first one was Sanatana Goswami.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. Let's go to 39. Verse 39. Kacchiti namayam tata brasta teja vibhashimi. My brother Arjuna, please tell me whether your health is all right. You appear to have lost your bodily lustre. Is this due to others disrespecting and neglecting you because of your long stay at Dwaraka? So finally, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj here concludes that until Krishna is present, so nothing will happen, right, to Dwaraka. So then he realizes that, and then he starts inquiring about Arjuna's welfare, because still, you know, he's looking so dejected. So he starts inquiring about his welfare, personal welfare. Yeah. Kachin abhito bhavahe sadha vir amangalai nadatam uktam arpiya. As someone addressed you with unfriendly words or threatened you, could you not give charity to one who asked, or could you not keep your promise to someone? So in this purport, basically, you know, this section from 40 to 43, it's all about duties of a king or a kshatriya. So as I mentioned in the section before, so if we don't perform, so this can cause the despondency. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is now coming to all those duties of a king. So in this, yeah, promise. think we don't have. Okay, let's see. So can we think any examples from, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam or anywhere where somebody didn't keep the promise and they had to go through, you know, they had to fall down or, you know, they had to go through a lot of things, you know, from Srimad Bhagavatam, if anybody can, just quickly.
Bali kept his promise.
The last year, so he didn't have anything to offer.
Yeah,
for his
but that's not a promise. It's kind of, so if you remember Dronacharya, right? Yeah. And Drupada.
Yeah.
So that's a good example. Of course, it's Prabhupada doesn't mention, but I was thinking about how the promise, this thing. So we know Drupada, right? Like how when they were in school, so he had promised that, you know, if he becomes a king or something, he will share. But when he really becomes a king and Dronacharya goes because of his very poor condition, he didn't add anything to feed his wife and kids. So he goes to him, you know, to ask for some charity. But Drupada, you know, completely ignores him, saying, you know, you are in, right now we are on different platform. Now I am a king, you are a poor Brahmana, so we don't match. Our status doesn't match. So he ignores, but finally Dronacharya, he wants to take revenge. So that's what happens. If we give some promise, and particularly, you know, anything related to our devotional service, you promise something. So at some point of time, you know, it will come and haunt us. So, and also I was remembering, this is Rampad Maharaj mentions about Maharaj Katvanga, right? Katvanga, I think from 9th canto or somewhere, where, you know, he fasts, like, you know, fasting. So he keeps that fasting, very long fasting. Then after some point, he was a king, so they arranged for a royal feast, very royal feast. Then one by one, it's actually for a test for him. The demigods wanted to test him, I think, if I remember. I didn't read, but I was trying to recall.
That is Rantidev.
That's a Rantidev? Okay. This then, I don't know, then maybe it's a Rantidev. But anyway, so this also similar Katvanga also same thing. I think it's fasting. He is fasting. So one by one comes, like, you know, for example, Brahmana comes. Then he gives half of from his plate. Then some mendicant, right? The who is traveling, they come. Then he gives the remaining portion. Then somebody, you know, very like a dog or something, that also comes. Then he gives remaining. Then he won't have anything at the end actually to eat. So basically he kept his charity, the charity purpose of his charity. He was a very charitable mood, so he didn't break that. Whatever he was there, he wanted to give it away. So it went so that he, you know, he didn't add anything to eat even after a long stay. So I'm not sure whether it's Maharaj Katvanga, but Rampad do mention like that. In the 9th canto, he mentions. So then also,
Katvanga is where he falls from the heavenly planets and then he surrenders in a minute to
Samthi. So let's see what probe. So when they are asked for a donation, it's a duty of the possessor of wealth to give in charity in consideration of the person, place and time. So that's for particularly, you know, for all of us here, grihasthas who are working. So whenever we have to give charity, we have to see all these three things. What's the final, you know, what's the purpose which will be used? And Arivilas Prabhu also gives example, you know, where usually, you know, on 148th Street, in the, I think, one of the exits, so somebody will be holding that board and standing, right? I'm a Vietnam vet, give me a dollar or something, God bless you, like that, right? So Arivilas Prabhu says, you know, if you give him $1, if the first thing he does is, after he collects maybe $10 or something, first thing he does is he goes to 7-Eleven and he buys, you know, pack of cigarette or a drink. So you should see the, you know, place, circumstance and the person, like how they are going to use whatever donation we are going to give.
For example, somebody stops any one of us and asks for a tile donation in the temple. So what is the response?
Good, right?
It's good.
And tile donation.
How many tiles can you do? How many tiles can you do?
Whatever it's of, you can...
because last night, right? Harvast Prabhu was
announcing
it. Came forward and gave and all that, right? So not everybody gave.
Not everybody, yeah. Yeah, whatever is, you know, our we can stretch ourselves, you know. So let's go to the next one, 41st.
Kachitva brahmanam balam gampatyam hoginam striyam saravapustam sasatvam natakshesharan pradaha
You are always the protector of the deserving living beings, such as brahmanas, children, cows, women, and the diseased. Could you not give them protection when they approached you for shelter? So here the main emphasis is on the protection. So how the king or the particular state in current times, it's all about the local state, right? So how to give the protection? These are the needy people. All this whoever is mentioned, right? Brahmanas, children, cows, women, under this is. So, mainly this is a duty of a king. That's emphasized in this verse. Prabhupada says, if such living beings do not get protection by the Kshatriya or the royal order or by the state, it is certainly shameful for the Kshatriya or the state. I don't think we can apply this this point. We don't even have the divisions or all this. We don't even know. Everybody is Shudra, so everything is kind of mixed up.
Pretend to be Kshatriya.
Yeah, Shudra acts as a Kshatriya. We will cover in next one how bad actually that what can happen.
Kachitvam nam gamyam gamyam vaskritam striyam parichito vatvavan notam vairnashyamepati.
Have you contacted a woman of impeachable character, or have you not properly treated a deserving woman, or have you been defeated on the way by someone who is inferior or equal to you? So here the main thing is about the contact. Actually, it's Rampad Maharaj says it's a nicer way of saying having a relationship or something. It's not he mentions contact means the men going it's going meeting a woman like that. So it's he says it's not about marriage or something, but it's about nice way of putting having a relationship. So let's see what the Prabhupada covers in the purport. So Prabhupada says first of all, by looking at the the translation, there was a very limited contact at that time in the during Pandava's time. There was under very certain conditions only, and let's see what Prabhupada says, what certain conditions were applied when there was meeting between man and woman. So Prabhupada says, Brahmanas or Kshatriyas can contact women of Vaishya or Shudra community. So from basically from Prabhupada mentioned, from higher caste they can contact the, from the lower caste. And he's mentioned the next one is it's not allowed from the lower community, like Shudra or Vaishya, men from that community, they cannot contact Brahmana or Kshatriya, ladies, women from the that community. So that causes, we'll see that what happens. And he also mentions about seven mothers. Can anybody very quickly tell who are the seven?
Guru, our own mother, cow mother. Mother-in-law.
That is maybe
Chanakya. Yeah, that is different. Niti.
Okay, yeah. One's own mother, wife of spiritual master, brahmana or a king, cow, nurse, and hearth. So Prabhupada mentioned
about. Somebody use milk or just any nurse?
Actually, I have heard when you birth, right? When you take birth, whoever is there at that time to facilitate that, I think they are considered as a mother.
But. Yeah. Whoever is nurturing the child to grow, right? Like
a,
are they not
considered? I've heard this one particularly about this. When they are present at the time of the birth, who helps in the facilitating the, that?
Because they take the role of a mother only.
Yes. They are the main one actually to take that.
But then Prabhupada also says that every woman other than your wife is your mother.
Yes. See, that's higher principle. It overrules this one.
3 billion mothers.
Yeah. So yeah, this is where Prabhupada talks more about. So he talks about Uttama, that's a contact of a Brahmana with a Kshatriya woman. So that's called Uttama, it's good. So and Prabhupada gives example of Vyasadeva and Parasarmuni. Parasarmuni was, he contacted Satyavati, and that's where Vyasadeva was born. And she was a fisherman, community from the fisherman, right? Parasarmuni was a great Brahmana. He contacted a woman from the fisherman. Actually it's below Shudra, Prabhupada mentioned. So Vyasadeva was born, and Vyasadeva, he begot Pandu's son Dhritarashtra, right? He was the one, he was asked to come and we get the kids. So that's allowed. And other thing is, you know, this whatever we are discussing, it doesn't apply to the current conditions. This is, this was that time. Yeah, it was, we cannot apply these points here. And Prabhupada talks about adama. Adama is contact of a kshatriya with a brahmana woman. And the good example is Roma Arshana Sutta's father. It's a very nice link. I didn't know. I was looking this. So Roma Arshana's father was kshatriya. And mother was a brahmana. So when Balram, right, when he went on the pilgrimage, so he went to that assembly. So Roma Arshana Sutta, he did not get up and he did not pay his homage, right, to Balram. So it's mentioned that because he was not really, he didn't have the brahminical qualities, that's the reason he offended Balram. And Balram immediately understood that he has a, you know, low the parentage, this thing. That's why he immediately killed him, because he was, you know, completely against that culture. So it's very interesting. Roma Arshana Sutta.
So Roma Arshana was begot by
a kshatriya father and a brahmana woman. So, and which is not allowed according to the scriptures or according to the this niti or whatever shastra. And the next point Prabhupada talks about is how a kshatriya, right? He cannot be defeated by someone who is inferior, like low or equal in strength. Only he can be defeated by a superior power. And the examples is given is Bhishma Dev, you know, is very superior, very powerful in age, in respect, and in power, Bhishma Dev. So it was okay for him to, you know, get defeated by Bhishma Dev. But for Karna, he was equal in strength with Arjuna. So when there was no fight, he was really in trouble. Actually, Arjuna was literally was losing, right? So then Krishna, you know, they did some trick. Prabhupada mentioned by crooked means, they killed Karna. And that's how the kshatriyas work. Prabhupada mentions in the purport. That's how it works. So, yeah, that's one of the for kshatriyas. That's a power, basically. They can be only defeated. Prabhupada mentioned that's how the kshatriyas, yeah, the wars, that's what happened. They use the crooked means, anyway, it's under direction of Krishna, so it happened. Yeah, in this particular instance, it happened. And Rampad Maharaj, he mentions, as I spoke, right, as I told before, in Kali Yuga, because nobody, you know, follows any samskaras, so any of this, because Brahmana Kshatriya, we are not following any Brahminical, the samskaras who Brahmanas or Kshatriyas do, we are not following. So we cannot apply any of this, you know, contacting women of different, we cannot do all those things. Anyway, it's not needed also on these days, it's all mixed up, right? So we cannot apply this particular point, see. So Prabhupada says, contact between man and woman is natural, but that also must be carried out under regulative principles, so that social consecration may not be disturbed or unwanted worthless population be increased for the unrest of the world. And I think that's what it's happening, right? Varna Shankara. Right now it's all population more. No, Rompad Maharaj in the lecture he mentions. It's not in the lecture. Nobody follows him. No samskaras at all. That's why only for us the main thing is chanting. Because we know nobody, we never did any samskaras for us also. So only chanting is the protection. That's
so
the only way.
There are still a few small population, set of population who do samskaras.
But are they doing under, do they have like particular brahmanas or under ideal situations?
Like in, you know, you see in agraharams and so on, some people do follow. Sure. They do
maybe
garbhadhana, yeah. They do all of these, mundan ceremony, everything. They do all the 16 samskaras.
Yeah.
Like even in, you know, even though we not follow so much, when somebody passes away in our house, we do the
we do
which is the antim samskara.
Yeah.
It's not like we leave the body somewhere, right?
Yeah, we do. But
again,
it's all, everybody does something.
But what consciousness do? Like we follow it as a ritual.
We call some.
Even in those days, the Shudras had Shudra consciousness and they did it with that. So it's not like everybody was in the highest consciousness even in those days. You had more of Brahminical and Kshatriya. But today, mostly in the...
Everybody is a Kshatriya, so
yeah, we'll take questions later. First, anyway, it's almost... So let's see. Api svet paraya bhoktas tvam sambojaya vrida balakam yuktam karma kinchet kritvan nyaya dakshamam. Have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? So this is also one of the duties. So this is where it applies for householders also. So particular Prabhupada talks about householder. So householder is the one who has to take care of his family, particularly kids, old man, or the friends, the wife, like that, the immediate family. And he also talks about the ideal householder, how it was in the Vedic society. So they used to go outside and call three times. Is anybody hungry? Anybody? Three times they used to make announcement. If nobody comes, then only they used to take prasadam. So that's what Prabhupada says. That's ideal householder. And that was the Vedic culture. Right? So much change if you compare. Prabhupada says, the neglect of this prescribed duty of a householder, especially in the matter of the old men and children, is unpardonable. Because they are... They depend, old men and children, they are always depending on somebody. So that's why it's mentioned unpardonable. So let's see the last verse. Kachit prestanenata hridayenatma banduna shunyo asmi raito nityam manyasete anyataru. Or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for your becoming so dejected. So, yeah, this is where finally, he comes to the main crux. He finally realizes that there's no other reason than, losing Krishna. That's the only reason how Arjuna can be so much in dejection. So, Prabhupada mentioned acute dejection. That's the only possible reason was Krishna's disappearance from the world. And I was thinking, we also feel it all the time, sad and all, because we also have lost the relationship with Krishna. So we miss him, right, Krishna. So when we go through any difficult situation, or that's the main reason, we have that sadness all the time, we are not happy. So, because we have lost the relationship.
So Sachinandan Maharaj, one of the book, I bought it in the temple itself. You can still have it in the bookstore. It starts, we are so unfortunate. We have lost connection with the person that loves us the most, Krishna. That's how it starts his book.
Yeah. Okay, so these are some summary points. So feel protection fearless only under the shelter of Lord's lotus feet. So yesterday I was listening to Radhanath Maharaj, this thing, one of the lectures about Narasimha Dev. So we always tell, we have to take shelter of devotees, shelter of the Lord, right? So what does really shelter means? So when everything is going good, that's why we all the time say, I will take shelter of Krishna, Radha Nilamada, like that. So, but this thing will be tested when any trying circumstances. That's how whether are we really taking shelter, that's the time. And Radhanath Maharaj mentions, if we are not really going through now, because we have all the facilities, everything, right, for us. I'm pretty sure we are not put into really, very trying circumstances. But when we are put into the trying circumstances, are we really thinking about Krishna? So Radhanath Maharaj mentioned, that's where, your shelter will be tested. Where is your shelter? And most of the time people complain, why you are doing it only to me, why it's happening only to me. So he nicely tells. So we can also feel or have that fearlessness only when we take real shelter under Krishna's lotus feet. And the main thing, practical point is, if we think we are the enjoyer of any opulences, so that can cause our fall down too. And the duties of a householder, particularly charity, we can give whatever we can, and particularly taking care of family, especially kids, any dependents. And if you want to be happy, we have to establish that lost link. And this is a definition I got from very nice definition. Rampad Maharaj mentions, fear is nothing, it's just forgetfulness of Krishna, he says. It's so nice, just, you know. So we have fear, means that means we don't have the remembrance of Krishna. So this the references, Rampad Maharaj and Unveiling the Lotus Feet by Purujan Prabhu. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So share some realizations about being fearless, Prabhu.
You know, I'm always, you know, fearful.
No, you're fearless. You do your thing and you just move on. That's all.